welcome back, AIMP Nashville Pubcast listeners. It's your host, Tim Hunzi. We have a really fun packed episode today as we sit with hit songwriter Randy Montana. We just go down a lot of rabbit holes, my friends, but this one is packed full of really good advice on how to be a good writer, building relationships, how to just, you know, keep your head above water in this crazy business that we have. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Hey, 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 welcome back, AIMP Nashville Pubcast listeners. I'm just really excited today to be sitting with one of my favorite songwriters and friends, Randy Montana. How are you doing today, Randy Montana?
So good, Tim. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. As I was getting ready for this, we kind of chatted off mic a little bit. I did a deep dive and like started thinking about songs of yours I liked, and I went all the way back to your artist catalog, which I don't know how much you dig into your artist catalog. Pulled up a song you wrote with one of my writers, Practice Swings, and I hit 1,000 Faces, and oh, what was that? I don't like a cowboy. And I know you probably don't focus on your artist stuff as much as you did, but man, that's where I first met you. So I was kind of going back to a tale of like, how did I meet Randy? And it was through your artist stuff. I think it was probably Blake Chaffin that actually where I really started getting to know you, because you guys at the time used to write a lot. But
absolutely.
Yeah, man. So I start off just for my listeners and everything, fan first, always been a fan of Randy. And then we got to be, you know, as we do in the music business, friends. And then it just... here we are, as we were catching up as well, 9 number ones later, the man has crushed it as a songwriter. So I thought, man, you know, you're one of the unique ones here in town. There's a few of you that you kind of grew up in a family with your amazing father, Billy Montana, another great writer, writes with a lot of my writers over here. I guess I've never asked you this question. I don't think in all my times of hanging out with you is like, did you naturally come into the songwriting, or what was the pivotal point for you that made you go, I think I want to do what my dad does?
Yeah. I kind of gave it the stiff arm for a long time growing up, you know, and figured I wanted to do something different. But man, I don't know. I remember sitting down at, you know, 16 and writing a song and really enjoying it. And then, you know, getting a little older, putting a band together, and when I was in college and we were playing fraternities, and I started writing songs then. And that was kind of where, you know, I felt that electricity that you feel when you're writing a song, you know, and fell in love with it then. Kind of sheepishly broke the news to my dad that I wanted to try to get a publishing deal. You know, it's a tough road to hoe. And so I think my parents kind of looked at me. I know they did, because they were like, where have you been the last 19 years? Like, didn't you realize how difficult this was? But man, it was just something that I just felt called to do. I don't know why. It seemed like the right thing to do. So yeah, I mean, having a dad that had gone through all that stuff and had record deals and seen, you know, good things happen, seen, you know, get bad news, all that stuff, you know, I had a fairly good idea as to what I was getting into. Just like anything, you can read all the books you want, you can watch all the YouTube videos on it, but until you get out there and do it yourself, you kind of have no clue as to how difficult it is, you know what I mean? And so they of course now they're very supportive, but early on I think they were like, man, are you sure you want to get into this?
Or egg, like I know that, as I mentioned, you had the artist career early on. Was that something you pursued first, or you mentioned like the songwriting is kind of what broke you, and like, or that's the part that drove you, the calling? And then I forget, like, what was the path to having your artist career and then the transition to like, I'm a writer, this is what I'm gonna do?
For sure, the love of songwriting was what was the gasoline to the whole thing to begin with. The artist thing just kind of naturally happened. I was already, you know, performing and stuff like that, and doing stuff with my band. And so that kind of just naturally happened. It's like, and I think as it does with a lot of young guys that come into the music business, it's like, you know, young guy writing songs, sings pretty good. It's like the artist thing kind of naturally happens, you know, and it did for me. And that's how I, you know, I met Joe Fisher, and he was at Universal. He was A&R at Universal at the time with Brian Wright and Stephanie Wright were over there, and Luke Lewis was running that label. And yeah, that was a great experience. Man, I met so many amazing people and got to travel and played some really cool shows and stuff like that. And was an experience, I think, that helped me too going forward as a writer, because I got to, you know, I understood what those artists were going through out there on the road, and what a tough road to hoe it is, you know, doing your radio tour and all the shows and travel and the strain that it puts on your sleep cycle. You know what I mean? It's like those guys are out there going on little to no sleep. And yeah, man, just kind of just knowing what they're going through as I transition into writing. And yeah, you know, that was I wound up losing that record deal, which looking back, you know, that's at the time, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. But, you know, sitting here today, I look back and I'm like, man, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, because it made me, there's a crossroads. You know what I mean? You sit there and you're like, well, you can stay in it. You can try to get another deal. You can get out, go do something else, or shift gears and try to write songs for other people. And I decided to keep writing, and man, just kind of one person after another, just kind of kept meeting great folks and building relationships with some amazing artists and guys that have gone on to be successful. And it's amazing.
You have obviously connected with a couple of hit artists, particularly Mr. Luke Combs. Where did that relationship connect? Because you guys seem like soulmates. You write often, and you've had many, many hits with them. Like, how did that relationship come and nurture?
Man, Luke, I met Luke talking about just being present to win. It was like I was cutting through the cafeteria at Sony, or the little break room at Sony. Luke and Ray Fulcher were sitting in there, and this was like, I think Luke was still, I think he was driving back and forth to Boone, or from Boone to Nashville still. They were sitting in there. We started talking. It was kind of one of those things where it was just like, he was like, hey, man, I'd love to write a song sometime. So we did, you know. It was kind of one of those. It was like, absolutely, man. Like, let's give it a try. And like I said, that was the first time I met him. I don't know if I knew who he was, you know, before that point, but I kind of don't think so. I think that was kind of my first introduction. Man, we both love the outdoors. We went and turkey hunted, and kind of that was just kind of where that relationship started. And that's what's cool about, you know, the music industry, is that a lot of these people are genuine friends. We're on text threads that have nothing. I mean, the text threads have nothing to do with music. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about like deer, outdoor, you know, outdoor fishing, whatever. It's like, yeah, we all do music. That's what we do, but we enjoy other things. And honestly, that's where the friendship began. But we also write great songs together, and it just works for whatever reason. And I think too, I've found that as I've gone on, that like, yeah, I've gotten cuts, you know, one and on somebody, and one here and one here and one here. But man, the people that I really mesh with, it's been multiple cuts over multiple albums. And that's just because it's like, we speak the same language. You know what I mean? We're cut from the same cloth. We think similarly. We're maybe at similar places in life a little bit. It's like my kids are older than Luke's, but it's like, I think, you know, you're both fathers though. It's like, I know that point that he's at with having the little ones, where you're like just worried that they're going to, you know, forget where the brakes are in their bike and run off the, you know, run down the hill at 60 miles an hour and run off the road. You know what I mean? Like, whatever that is, it's like, I remember that moment. I mean, mine's just a little bit different now. Mine's just like, please slow down on the dirt bike, you know? But I still remember that. And we're in a relationship, just like you and I, man. It's like, we're in a relationship business, and I think it's just important to be good to people. You know what I mean? Like, just be good, just be kind, be supportive of when people are having success.
When you're you're in the room and you see that connection, what is part of your process to try to get in and like work with an artist? Maybe you can talk about that process, like, because that's a unique thing. You have the perspective having been an artist, but how do you work in a room to like try to deliver the best thing for the artist in the room and make that connection? Is there a secret to that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a secret, but it's also, I do look at it now where it's like, okay, I'm there to help them write their song. I'm not writing my song. We're writing their song for where they're at. And I think when you sit down with an artist, it's always good and it's always so helpful from my standpoint if they sit down and it's like, hey, this is what I need. You know what I mean? Like, this is where I'm at. This is where I need what I need. And like you said, like Laura obviously has this innate ability to pull that info out of those artists and to really facilitate, I guess, kind of help get all that on paper in a melody that is, that makes sense. And a great lyric, obviously. She's obviously wildly successful at doing that. But yeah, man, it's like you're there to write their song, you know? It's like you want them. And so, yeah, sometimes it is your, not that it's not your idea sometimes, but that goes into having that relationship with them, maybe. You know what I mean? It's like where, you know, the idea for the song, like maybe I do bring in the idea or another writer brings in the idea, but it's knowing where that artist is at that time and their catalog and their career. And it's like, man, it'd be great if, what if he did something like this? You know what I mean? Like, what if we tried something like this right here? And man, that's been super helpful over the years. Cause it's not about me anymore. You know what I mean? Like it's about them, you know? And that was, you know, talking about getting out of having a record deal. And that was the main gear shift for me was like, sometimes it's like, well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but it doesn't matter because I'm not the one saying it. You know what I mean? Like they're saying it. And so making sure that it's their song, and because it is, that's what you're there doing, man. You're writing that artist's song. And that's helped me, you know what I mean? Having that.
How do you handle and deal with those times where you just feel like, man, what am I doing? Like maybe you're running dry of ideas. I'm one of those that doesn't really believe in writer's block. I understand what that means, but I just believe you got to kind of trunk through it, you know? But how do you work through those periods in your career?
Yeah, I totally get what you mean about the writer's block thing, because I've never honestly felt like, I've been through spells where I don't feel like I'm writing good songs or ideas aren't coming. You know what I mean? Like I go in spurts where it's like, I feel like the ideas are like just happening. And then there's other times where I won't put a note in my phone for weeks for whatever reason. I don't know what that is, but man, I try to, in those times when I'm feeling that way, when I look up and realize it's like, hey man, you haven't had a good idea in 3 weeks or whatever, try to take a specific time, like almost a lot time aside to get ideas, whether that's listening to other songs, just some sort of inspiration because somebody else wrote those songs, and finding appreciation in how they got to the hook and kind of dissecting. It's like, man, that's great. I love how they did this. Whatever that is, it a lot of times for me, it sparks either a new energy, you know what I mean? To be like, okay. It's like, I like how they did that. Or, you know, any kind of little wordplay things that people do, like, you know, I love like Josh Thompson as a writer. Like I love how he will use the same word, you know, 3 or 4 times in a different way. And it's just, it's cool. And it's inspiring for me where it's like, man, that's great. You know what I mean? Like I want to do more of that. He just innately does it, and that's cool. And so finding from other writers, and I got a bunch of fields to cut here at the house. And dude, I get on the tractor, and like that is great idea time for me because the engine's loud. You can't really hear anything. All you're focused on is mowing in a straight line. Man, a lot of a lot of ideas are born on the tractor. That's a good time to set aside to do that. I should give the tractor a publishing deal. I don't know how it would.
Pivoting just a little bit though, Randy, because when I have writers on the podcast, I always like to talk about publisher-writer relationship, and you've obviously had a few different ones. You've been in your career for a while now. What do you think, for you as a writer, what is the important role for a publisher for you? How do you see that role, and what's the best a publisher can do for you?
And I think that changes at different points of your career. Like early on, it's just maybe finding you another younger writer that, like you said, that you do spark up a relationship with, that you really dive in with, and you know, y'all are similar points of your career, you buddy up and wind up writing once a week or whatever that is, you know, but and in a situation that's beneficial for you both. But you know, now it's a different thing. It's like, I feel like, you know, since I've been at Warner, it's like Ryan Beisel was my first guy. Now it's Jesse Stevenson, and back to the relationship thing, man. It's like, I have great relationships. Ryan's one of my oldest friends here in town. You know what I mean? I met him right when I signed a record deal at Universal. He was the A&R assistant at the time. It's like, there we were, you know, both 24 years old or whatever, you know, similar backgrounds and speak the same language. And so we started that relationship then, which, you know, we didn't work together again, you know, and for another 10 years or whatever that was, you know. But then when we did, it's like, man, we already knew each other. So it's like the publisher knowing you, you know what I mean? Like knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, knowing, you know, what room makes sense for you. And what artists make sense for you. You know what I mean? Like there's the possibilities there are endless, and it's just, but where am I most beneficial to the room? And so, yeah. And knowing how you work too, it's like, you know, some people love 4 or 5 days a week with a couple doubles in there, and they're writing, you know, 6, 7, 8 songs a week, whatever that looks like. But for me, it's like, man, I get pretty burnt if I'm doing it that way, like where I'm more of like 4 days a week. You know what I mean? Like that's a good tempo for me. Other things come in, of course, but like I like that pace. At the end of the week, I feel like, okay, you know, it was a productive week. I did a lot, and it's great to have a couple days to not write a song and to, you know, kind of get into ideal world or try to start some half things, whatever that looks like. And so having that relationship that's invaluable too, especially when things get really busy.
So Randy, in that same frame of mind, like when you were first in town, you know, riding again, you have a little bit of advantage of probably having some advice from your dad growing up in town. But what do you think's one of the most important things of advice to give a young writer looking? Maybe he's got a couple options. What do you think you would advise them when they're looking at a publisher relationship?
And I know I've said it like 2 or 3 times now, but really having that feeling like you click with, you know, whoever's going to be your point there at the publishing company is super important, and a place you can thrive too. And it's like, there's no, like, there are people that are in major label, like major pub deals, like one of the bigs, that have success. And there's also people in tiny little publishing companies with 2 writers and, you know, 1 guy that owns it and 1 guy running calendar, however that is, that are wildly successful too. It's like, it's not like you have to have one or the other to be successful. And I think that goes to just wherever you're comfortable. And then that goes back to you as a writer too. It's like, how willing are you to try new writes, but then also like continue to hone in your thing? You know what I mean? And it's like, and everybody's path to success is different, but it's like, use a guy, like I always look at Michael Hardy, like I can hear a song and know it's a Michael Hardy song. You know what I mean? Like, it, without him singing it, you know, and I can just, there's a cadence, there's a rhyme scheme, whatever it is. It's like I hear those things and I'm usually pretty good at picking up on it. It's because he's got a thing that he has. I'm sure he would say the same thing, is that like he's chipped away at it for years and worked at it for years and years and years, and has it dialed in now. You know what I mean? Like, and has had it dialed in for a long time. I'm not saying it's just now. I mean, it's been, the guy's prolific. But I use him as an example because, you know, I don't think he was at one of the big publishing companies.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunsey. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.